There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 29th of October. You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with invited guests, where we're discussing the issues of the day. With you until 12 o'clock, live from the studios of TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Due to a couple of problems that I've had over the past 12 to 24 hours, had some guests who were going to supposed to come on today, but they've been unable to make it due to weather conditions. Yes, indeed, it's a bit like that. They've been stranded. So I'm going to be doing something a little bit different today. It is just myself in the studio, so if you want to get anything off your mind on today, then these will be the numbers that you can contact me with today.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000, email studio@tre.radio, send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95, message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that. Yes, leaves on the line. We try and bring you guests when we can, but we are a broad church. Our reach, our tentacles, I said tentacles go most places, but sometimes we're just as this proverbial goes, you know what happens, and today is obviously one of those you know what happens days. So we're throwing the phones open, and thanks for the comments in already. So I do like leaves on the line, though. Let's have a look at what's making the front page, though, just to kick off. I'm going to be replaying the interview I did yesterday as well with a commentator from South Africa on the situation in the States at the moment, after the, as we go into the final week, basically, before the United States election. But first off, let's have a look at what's making the front pages of the papers. Well, many of the papers report on the measures expected to be unveiled on Wednesday's budget, particularly those intended to address issues in the NHS. Excuse me. Daily Mirror declares there's hope for the health service and calls the budget Labour's war on waiting lists. It says the Chancellor will pump billions of pounds into the health service tomorrow to save it from disaster. The Guardian says an injection of funds by Chancellor Rachel Reeves will revive a broken but not beaten NHS, and quotes her saying she wants to end the neglect of the service under the Conservatives. The paper suggests the funding boost could be as much as £7 billion. Other papers strike a note of caution. The Daily Telegraph quotes Reeves saying the additional funding for the NHS won't be enough to undo 14 years of damage, and says the comment raises the prospect of further rises in years to come. The Times and the Daily Mail both highlight an acknowledgement from the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, that the budget is unlikely to deliver major improvements or, the Mail adds, prevent patients dying while waiting for care this winter. The IE carries a warning from charities that they may be forced to make cutbacks if an expected rise in employers' national insurance goes ahead. The paper says a group of volunteer organisations has written to Reeves telling her with costs climbing and funding falling, our sector already faces a crisis. The Daily Express continues with its campaign for restoration of the winter fuel payments to all pensioners, with front page message to the Chancellor that it's not too late for a U-turn. The Financial Times says Volkswagen plans to shut at least three plants in Germany, axe tens of thousands of jobs, and slash pay by 10%. The paper says management at the company, Europe's largest car maker, believe radical measures are needed amid intense competition from China, slowing sales and the costly transition to electric vehicle production. It adds the move marks the first closure of a German factory in the company's 87-year history and to set up a battle with the country's powerful unions. Meanwhile, a warning from the Children's Commissioner, Dame Rachel D'Souza, that social media companies are ignoring the harm they inflict on children while making billions of pounds from them. That also makes the Telegraph's front page. A report based on children's experiences reportedly found examples of cyberbullying, sexual grooming by adult predators, and guides on self-harming. Dame Rachel criticizes the government and the regulators Ofcom for going too slowly in introducing safeguards laws to tackle the multiple hazards in the online world. An Ofcom spokesperson tells the paper they are bound by law to consult on codes to protect children, and though that took time, it resulted in better and more legally robust regulation. The Sun's front page carries a picture of Erik ten Hag, who was sacked as Manchester United manager on Monday. The paper reports that the Dutchman, who they call Erik ten Swag, has been given a £15 million payoff. The Daily Star adds that Ten Hag was on a private plane within hours of his dismissal from the club. Get me out of here, reads the headline. So, from the top today, those headlines. Budget vow to rebuild broken, not beaten NHS. That's in The Guardian. Also, they've got a picture on Tommy Robinson being jailed for contempt of court. The Daily Mirror, Labour's war on waiting lists, hope for the health service. This is the NHS has suffered 14 years of Tory neglect, and that money set to be pledged provides hope it can be saved from disaster. Daily Telegraph, Trump disowns comedian over Puerto Rico joke. NHS will need more tax rises, signals Reeves. This is fixing the NHS will require more tax rises in the future. The budget is already expected to include a number of tax hikes, including a possible rise in national insurance paid by employers. The paper quotes Reeves saying the additional funding for the NHS won't be enough to undo 14 years of damage and says the Commons raises the prospect of further rises in years to come. The Daily Mail. Billions in budget still won't cure NHS, admits Streeting. Where Streeting say the NHS will continue to have face real problems despite what the paper calls huge handout set to be unveiled. It further quotes him as saying the extra money will only arrest a decline, not in the health service, and there's no magic wand to fix it. The Times, tax rises won't cure the NHS, Labour concedes, and Prime Minister Keir Starmer said pretty well all the tax rises Labour need to impose will be out of the way after Wednesday, but added he cannot give a cast-iron guarantee there won't be more in future. There's also a picture of demonstrations in Georgia, protesters in Tbilisi. The budget NI hike will damage core services, the charities warn. They may be forced to make cutbacks and divert funds away from essential services if the rise in employees' national insurance goes ahead. That's according to the Eye. The paper says a group of volunteer organisations has written to Reeves telling her, with costs climbing and funding failing, our sector already faces a crisis. Financial Times leads with a story about Volkswagen planning to axe three German factories and sets up a battle with the unions. As I said before, it's the first time that they've first closure of a German factory in the company's 87-year history. Meanwhile, the Metro. Metro goes with a different thing. Metro reports that a student used AI technology to turn photos of real children into indecent images, which he then sold to other paedophiles online. Hugh Nelson from Bolton was jailed for 18 years on Monday after pleading guilty to 16 child sexual abuse offences. The paper says Nelson had customers from all over the world and was only stopped after he unwittingly began exchanging messages with an undercover police officer in May last year. Deep fake photo pedo is theirs. Looking at those front pages, what I haven't got this morning is the Star. So let me just have a look and see if I can find the Star this morning. As I said before, the Daily Express, Chancellor told it's not too late for a U-turn on winter fuel. And the Daily Star. Daily Star says the sack of Manchester United manager Eric Ten Hag was in a devil of a rush to get out of the UK after he took a private jet, a private plane just hours after he was let go from the club. Private plane for Ten Hag. Bross quits UK in a hurry after Man U axe. Their headline is Jet Me Out of Here. And those, for better, worse. Oh, and no, The Sun, sorry, leads with Man United boss fired at 11 a.m. on jet back to Holland with a £15 million payoff at 2:15 p.m. Eric Ten Swag. That is their headline. And for better or worse, those are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 29th of October. If you want to get your viewpoint across, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And it's live to lines we go. Morning, cool, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me, Charles?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Thanks.
Okay, it's something that's ever affected me. It's on this fuel allowance, winter fuel allowance.
Yeah,
I'm incredibly surprised that they didn't just stop it for people that are taxpayers, because that way pensioners wouldn't have been affected.
So just say that again for me, so I've got that clear.
Well, instead of stopping it for everybody, if they'd stopped it for people who pay income tax. That means that people earning less than just under $13,000 a year would have got it to continue getting it. They're the ones who need it. And the people over that would lose it. And that just seems to be like a fairer way of controlling it.
Yeah, it just seems to be one of these situations where the government is going to get himself in. It's in a real tangle, because it's not going to be popular, and it will allow the opponents of the government to go, you know, you didn't say anything about this. You didn't say anything about this in the election. Of course, we've got this budget coming up, and you know, we've had shadow ministers saying that this is just evidence of Labour's duplicity, and they were just trying to say anything to get the election win.
Yeah, I'm just amazed they've done it, because, I mean, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Mm. It just seems to be such... I mean, I say abolishing it for people who already have sufficient money and income, but for those that are poor, like pensioners, person on a basic pension in England is certainly poor, to take it away from them just seems... very surprising.
Do you think that?
Anyway, I'll let you get on.
I just think, just a quick one. Do you think that they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't? Because now, if they make a U-turn, they're going to be seen as indecisive or not willing to sort of stick to their plans.
Well, I think they should make a U-turn, because I say that the problem is that in England, and I know from when my mother was old, probably I'm older than she was then,
right?
But when she was old, She didn't know about how to claim different things. There was one, I think it was called attendance allowance or something. And when I was there, I went to see the Citizens Advice Bureau about something else. And they said, well, is your mother on this? And I said, what is it? Mm. And basically it was that if she got more money, would she like use taxi more often? Would she buy more in the shops? Would she go and visit friends more? And all of them was, of course, yes. And she got this extra allowance. But she didn't know about it. That's what I'm saying, is that... Yeah. In England, it's unfortunate. The people who need it most are the ones who are least likely to get it, you know?
Sure. And it's also, I suppose it's also a thing about people assume, or maybe they don't have the right information to go and get the credits or the benefits that they are entitled to.
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody said that, I can't remember what it is, if you're on household credits or something, but somebody said it's 200, it's a questionnaire of up to 200 questions. I mean, it's just like nonsensical, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to take you the best part of a week to get through to find out if you're what you are entitled to.
Yeah, and probably Apple will come on and put me right on that.
Well, I know. I may say. Anyway, as always, thank you for your call in. And enjoy the weather, as the saying goes.
Yeah. Thanks,
Charles. Thanks very much indeed. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. I'll give you those numbers again.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio.
send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
I want to start, we're going to start with playing an interview I did yesterday, because I think it's current, if you missed it, from the other day, with Charles Belk, because this is on the back of the events in the US over the weekend. Donald Trump used a rally overnight to claim he's the opposite of a Nazi after some speakers at his event in New York on Sunday were criticised for their remarks. In a week's time, voters will reflect either him or Kamala Harris as U.S. president. Some within the Republican Party accuse her of exploiting a relationship in the 90s with the then mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, to get ahead.
Nothing pleases me more, frankly, than how she absorbs those attacks. My first conversation with her had absolutely nothing to do with politics.
That obviously was former mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, commenting on that. There has been obviously some flack from there. This coming in on the WhatsApps, it costs more to work out who's eligible for the winter fuel allowance and who isn't. Therefore, a blanket cover for everybody. As I said last week, the winter fuel allowance was going to be removed by the Tories, and those who are clutching at handbags about it, if they stop buying the mail or the express, the money recouped would save the winter fuel allowance. The winter fuel allowance that is entitled to. Also, been sent a graphic that purports to claim or purports to show that is this odds? And this is odds 63% on for Trump to win, 36% for Harris. I'm just trying to work out exactly what those are indeed. But I'm talking of which, yesterday I interviewed Charles Belk about his viewpoint is on the elections in the US. Here is the 20 minutes or so of that interview.
Let's talk.
Former Hollywood producer, activist, and businessman Charles Belk is going to be joining me live on the line, giving me his unique view of what has been happening in the US elections. We are under 9 days away from the day itself, on the back of a weekend that saw scenes of I just don't know how to describe it really, but I'm sure one man who can, who joins us live on the line now, is Charles Belk. Charles, good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well.
Good to have you with us. Give me a little bit of background about your status, because you've been very active in politics for some time now, although you're now based, I believe, in South Africa.
I am based in Johannesburg now. I just moved here a month and a half ago, actually. So I'm not an elected official, not really involved in politics from the standpoint other than being what I like to refer to as an active citizen. And that came about because in 2014, I was wrongfully arrested while I was walking down the street and they thought I was involved in a bank robbery. And as a result of that, I got arrested and had an arrest record, and I needed to do something about that. And so that's where my whole political journey began.
Because you were on the way to an awards ceremony at the time, or coming back. I've seen pictures of you being cuffed on the sidewalk, you know, and I'm going to flag this up right now. You know, white police officers standing around you, and it was one of those cases of, oh, look, it's a black gentleman on the sidewalk. We'll think we'll arrest him, and just what the hey.
Yeah, so there you have it. I was literally just walking down the street and a bank had just been robbed. And so I fit the description at the time of the tall, bald black man who they thought was involved in the bank robbery. Apparently, the bank was robbed by a woman who had been robbing several banks in the area. And so this tall black dude who they thought was involved wasn't involved, and they arrested me for the whole situation. So yeah, it was interesting. It was doing Emmy Awards weekend in 2014, and I was involved in the industry back then, and so I was out and about getting prepared, just kind of holding over, getting ready to go to a pre-Emmy Awards event, and when this all happened, and that was my whole Friday night in August of 2024 turned my whole life into a little movie, actually. Yeah,
the thing is, you see, I mean, a lot of people could have done several things on this one. And one of them, you could have just gone, oh, fudge it, not the words exactly, you know, and I'm just going to, you know, as the saying goes, fight the power and whatever, and turn it into a negative thing. But you turned that on your head and you turned it, you didn't ask to be arrested. It was just one of those random things that happened, unfortunately, because of racial profiling, etc. But you've turned that into a pivotal moment and done something with it since then.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, it was the weekend. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Mike Brown out of Ferguson, Missouri, it was the weekend before his funeral. And all over the news was the recap of him shown face down after he had been shot in the back. And I didn't want that to be me. So I completely complied with everything they said. And, you know, for months I had post-traumatic experience about that, thinking that if I would have just did the wrong thing, my whole life could have ended up completely different. I could not be here talking with you today. So I posted it on Facebook. It went viral. I did a lot of media back then in 2014, and people comment. There was like hundreds of thousands of comments on my Facebook post that said, Charles, we don't know what you're going to do about this, but we know you're going to do something. And I had no idea what I was going to do. I eventually started a nonprofit organization called Fitting the Description and did a nationwide petition to attorney generals of each of the 50 states. Then I started talking to state legislators and found out that there was interest in introducing legislation on a state-by-state basis, because at the time, in the 50 states in the U.S., no state had any law on the books that said, hey, if you're innocent, you get wrongfully arrested, your arrest record go away. And the problem with that, sounds innocent enough. If you never go to court, you should be happy about that. If you never go to jail, you should be happy about that. Well, the problem is, if you have an arrest record in the U.S., it can affect a lot of things with your life. And so I ended up having to do something about that. And this is the 10-year anniversary of that activity. And to date, it's been introduced as legislation in whole or part in over 30-something of the 50 U.S. states, and is now a law in 23 of those U.S. states. So very, very excited about that, because, you know, in theory, you know, hundreds of thousands, not millions, of folks are affected by this and have been affected by this over the last 10 years and will probably continue to be affected by this.
10 years ago, and I hate to say this because at the time I didn't really think so, but it seems a gentler kind of time, doesn't it? 10 years ago, because since then, somebody opened the door, somebody wrenched open the door saying, you better not open this one. And you know the Chinese saying that the curse may you live in interesting times? I think we've had that in spades, Charles.
We have definitely had that. It has been crazy the last 10 years. You know, 10 years ago when it happened, you would have thought, you know, 10 years ago, it was definitely a kinder and gentler nation. But if anybody could trade what was going on 10 years ago, for now, I think it'd be a kind of no-brainer.
So you're over there in Joburg. It gives you the opportunity to sort of look out and step back from what's happening in the States. And we're at a pivotal moment here, I think. And this is as a white middle-class European, looking at that from across the pond. And I'm an immigrant living in Spain. I'm not an expat. I'm an immigrant. I moved over here. I'm not having any of that. So we have seen this. I mean, this has been an election campaign in the States like no other. We've had a change in the Democratic Party, which came blindsided out of nowhere when, questions were asked about Biden's fitness. Kamala comes on there. And we have seen, former President Trump running his campaign in a way that is his trademark style. And although people said that they would be very worried about Kamala Harris's campaign, it is a wafer-thin margin, or so it appears, as we head into the last 8 days before the election. And then we've seen two really significant things this weekend. One is Kamala Harris getting Michelle Obama on stage. And I just saw that and went, okay, you know, bring out the big guns. Because if there's a statement being made, it's to have Michelle Obama coming in and going, this is a thing about abortion, right? And this is a thing about women's rights. And this is a thing about Black Lives Matter. The whole situation. And she has reinforced that campaign. On the other hand, we have last night's The Weeknd's Madison Square Garden, best known to fans of boxing. It's in Trump's backyard, of course, of New York, or, you know, depends where he wants to be at that time. We have seen this rally, and I was listening to people this morning. It'd be very right. People would be saying, oh, it's a Nazi rally, the whole thing. I don't think it's that, but it was really interesting to hear some of the Republicans this morning commentators saying, oh, well, you know, a couple of the jokes were a little bit left to center, but I looked around the hall itself, and I saw minorities, I saw Latinos there, I saw black people there, you know, and so you can't say that Trump, you know, he's been embracing Muslims over the weekend as well. You can't say that Trump's not appearing across a broad section. I'm going to take a deep breath now, Charles, and hand it over to you.
So you are correct. And it's I don't understand it. And I don't think a lot of people, Michelle Obama clearly doesn't understand it, as to what is, how he has captured the folks that he has captured, given the things that he says, the things that he's done, the things that he says he's going to do. Let me be honest with you. In 2016, when he came down that escalator at Trump Tower announcing his candidacy, I was kind of excited because I was thinking to myself, we have a businessman that's going to go in and run the government, right, and kind of turn our country around so that some of the processes are truly efficient. And I was feeling good about that. He showed who he was, you know, before that election even took place in 2016. And then I went from that moment when he came down the escalator to traveling the world, working remotely for the 4 years during his term. I woke up every morning fearful of what had been said, fearful of what he has done, fearful of what was going on in my country, me being so far away. So it was for me and for a lot of folks that I've talked to, a scary times between 2016 and 2020 as an American in other parts of the world. I was fearful, and I don't want to go back to that. And I realized that Vice President Kamala Harris has a plan to take our country forward. And what I don't get is why that is not that obvious to folks. I get for a fact, though, that Republicans are very conservative. They have a very conservative nature as a party. And I respect that because I can have conservative parts of myself. However, you know, the things that Donald Trump says, the things that he does, the things that he says he's going to do, that's not conservative. That can be perceived by others as just being outright crazy. And crazy is not going to work for me, our country, or our world.
One of the takeouts, though, from last night was that Trump was going on about how he's going to fix the economy, put more money in your pockets, and also he's talking about mass deportations of immigrants. He's talking about millions. Okay, he said that last night. Whereas the Democrats are focusing on Roe v. Wade, the abortion bills, etc. And again, Republican commentators are saying, well, you see, the difference is that, you know, Harris is talking about, they put it in terms of issues that don't affect everyday Americans, okay? Whereas your everyday American is more concerned with the money to buy groceries and also illegal immigration in the country.
I don't think that I'm an everyday American. I'm not concerned about immigration. And I think that any person in the world, in any country that are in, are concerned about the prices of basic needs. I was on a call last night, Win with Black Men, that former President Barack Obama actually headlined, and he talked to us. It was 1 a.m. in the morning, my time, but he talked to us, and he pointed out to the fact that, you know, because Trump has been able to somehow get the public to believe that he actually had a good economy when he was president. And, you know, President Obama will quickly point out he inherited that good economy. That was the economy that was handed to him. So the verdict is out on whether or not, you know, we know he's failed several businesses. We know he inherited a good economy. So I'm not exactly sure if he is the right person to come in. I'm positive that he is not the right person to come in and run our economy for the next 4 years, because whatever good he may do is going to be completely offset by the chaos and all the bad that he will do. So I think that you have seen the vice president roll out several aspects of her economic strategy and plan for our country. And I'm on board with it. I completely am behind it and think that she will do good for our country.
You see, opponents of your views would say, that is just because the mainstream media or the legacy media or whatever you want to call them, like people like myself are mainstream media and get shot down all the time. But you're just buying into their lies, and this is a concerted, because Truth and his. And his ilk are truth tellers. They tell it as it is. They're straight talking. This is why it's an interesting one, because basically we're back onto the alternative facts, aren't we, that we had sort of 8 years ago. And if you're not with in a Trumpian worldview or in a modern political worldview, if you're not with the MAGA crowd 110%, then you are a sworn enemy. There are no nuances anymore, Charles. There's no, you can't have sort of mixed views on certain subjects.
Yes, I completely agree. And it's sad because I went to school out at University of Southern California in Los Angeles. And, you know, I come from the school of the Rodney Kings. Can't we all just get along? And so I just wish we could. But I have talked to MAGNA folks. And, you know, back when I was working very, very hard on Hillary Clinton's campaign in North Carolina, and I would be at the polls and I would talk to folks that were wearing the Trump hat. Now, I think they've gone a lot deeper red state since then. But you would have this conversation, and I just don't get some of the thinking that comes out of it. Now, what you said is interesting from the standpoint that, one, you happen to put Truth and Donald Trump in the same statement. Don't work. It just does not work at all. And then two, you mentioned that, you know, they would say that I'm, you know, making up stuff. Everything that I just said to you about the economy, about her strategy, about anything, it is facts. I don't make up anything. Before I sat down and talked with you today, I read through what is going on with our economy, what was going on with our economy back then, and what is the plan for our economy move forward. So these are facts. Google it, fact check me, and you will see what I'm saying is absolutely true.
What do you think happens if Trump gets back in for America in general? And because we've already got sort of European nations saying we've got President Trump saying the UK Labour Party is getting involved and influencing because it sent people over to the Democratic conventions. We know his views on NATO. We know his views on his relationship with some autocratic leaders, to put it mildly. Where do you think America? Where do you think America is going to go? Do you think this is a tipping point? Because if he puts in plan 2025, there's going to be all sorts of turbulence politically.
So I am, and this is a very true statement I'm getting ready to say right now. I literally woke up the other day, and there was, I don't know if it was a dream or as I woke up in this state, but I woke up with tears in my eyes, thinking about if I wake up on Wednesday, November the 6th, and I find out that Donald Trump is our president once again, I am fearful. It is a sad day for us. And you just mentioned all these things. So you are not even American. And you just mentioned all of these things that we as Americans, and not only the world, have to be concerned about if Donald Trump is elected again, because he is. Some have said that he is unhinged. Some have said that he completes do nothing but chaos, and he wants to run our country as a dictator. Kudos to him for having that desire. If I was going to run for president, I may want to be a dictator too. But as a citizen of my country, I can't see the U.S. being ran under that condition. And what's going to happen is when he got elected in 2016, I honestly believe that this man has issues, but we have a system in place in the U.S., checks and balances, right? And I said, okay, whatever he does, there will always be a check and balance there. And those checks and balances almost became out of control during his term. Based on what he has managed to line up over the past, 8 years, based on the supporters that he has, this Project 2025, I am no longer confident that the checks and balances will be in place to keep our country as we know it.
Also, the situations like, Black Lives Matter. I mean, there were demonstrations around the world about this in London. And again, people are saying, all, I mean, I was getting social media going, all lives matter. Well, of course they do, but there's a particular case, it's Black Lives That Matter. It will be harder, do you think? I mean, the political landscape might be a little more challenging for anything that comes out of that, because it would be seen as being un-American. I mean, we have come so far since the civil rights movements of the 50s and the 60s, absolutely. But in the same way, we are still back at square one. So where does it go from there? Not only in terms of if Trump gets in, but if Harris gets in, you know, what is, has the political atmosphere in the States become so charged, so black and so white, so two-dimensional, that those gains, women's rights, trans rights, race rights, you know, civil rights, have taken a step back?
Listen, if Donald Trump is elected president of the United States, unless there are his rights, everybody else's rights won't exist. That's the bottom line. And I think that while, and the former president, Barack Obama, said it last night on the call, he said that she's not going to be able to change things overnight, right? She's not going to be able to change race relationships in the U.S. because the former president, Donald Trump, and his followers and the rhetoric and all the things that he's put forward has put our country in a really bad position. And we have a long way to go. It's going to be a problem. The next 4 years is going to be a problem. But here's the thing. If Vice President Kamala Harris is elected, there is a path forward. There is a path forward because there's going to be some working across the aisle. If former President Donald Trump is elected, there's no forward. We're going backwards, and we're going to go backwards even further. Anything that we think is bad now, in my opinion, is going to be so much worse that I have plans on going back to the U.S. three times this 2025 to do certain things. That I won't go back. I absolutely will not go back.
When you get former President Barack Obama on a call or on a, you know, on a video thing on a Zoom, doesn't it just seem, don't you just sort of get wistful, you know, because they're, you know, we said when the Labour Party took over in the UK, they said it's okay, the adults are back in charge. And when you look at the way that Barack, you know, the way that Barack projects himself, the way that he is at ease, there is no bombastic, he knows the nuances. Don't you just wish for a longer term?
So, yes, but here's the scary part about that is I have met the man twice before he became president. I was inspired by him in 2014 when he said that I'm going to spend the next few months working on criminal justice reform, hence my criminal justice reform activity, because I was inspired by him. I listened to him again 2 years later in 2016 at a dinner that I was at, and he said he's going to spend the next few months working on getting Hillary Clinton elected. I then spent the next few months working to get Hillary Clinton elected. So the man has been an inspiration for me, even though I'm older than he is. He's been an inspiration for me. Last night on this call, I honestly can say I did not see the Barack Obama that you just talked about. Right. I saw a man that was generally concerned about what was going to happen to our country if former President Donald Trump is elected again. You may not see this in public, right? Because he is a very good speaker. He is a very polished and well together person. But last night in the conversation with his brothers, I genuinely saw on his face true concern about what was going to happen to our country and our world if Donald Trump is elected president. And when you see that in a man who is very composed, who is, you know, very on the right side of stuff, you should be concerned. I became even more concerned. And so it just gave me more fire to want to go out and do everything I can do to make sure that doesn't happen.
Charles, I'm going to run out of time, but I will be thinking about you the morning after the election, because we're on the same time zone here. And when my alarm goes off at stupid o'clock in the morning, as it always does, because I have to come and do these shows, I will think about you sort of turning over with what are we going to stay the night through rather than watch elections as they roll in.
We actually have a breakfast plan from 7 to 9 a.m. South African time with the Democrats Abroad of South African Club down here to get up and talk and, you know, hopefully have a joyous occasion as opposed to being a suicidal occasion. But yes, so we'll definitely be all engaged and waiting for those results.
I might get you back on the show to talk after that then.
Yeah,
if people want to follow you on the socials, where's the best place to in the nicest possible way track you down?
Absolutely. I am Charles Belk, CharlesBelk across all social media platforms. But I also I've traveled to 83 countries in the world right now, and I'm trying to hit 100. So I kind of log that activity on @BlackManAndAbroad across social media as well. So you can choose. You want to see the personal side of me, that's Charles Bell. If you want to see the travel side and you just start hating because you wish you was there, that's @BlackManAndAbroad.
Well, hopefully we'll get you over to Spain. If you haven't been before, you must come again. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Charles Bell, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much as well.
And that was an interview I did yesterday with Charles Burke, his side of what's happening in the States at the moment. Going to come back with some bits and pieces, including some criticism of. I'll play the ad break first, and then come back with this
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live. So thank you very much for the comments. In some ways, you said the good morning to Cookie, who said, "Oh, I hear there's a bit of rain around. Is there ever?" Orange warning today. That doesn't mean there's a giant tsunami on the way, but however, be careful out there. Lots of rain falling overnight. She also said that my guest, Charles, sounds a bit like Christopher Walken. We'll be adding more cowbell if in there. If you want to get involved with this show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm going to go to this this letter we have, because we get a fair bit of criticism on this show in particular. Saying that we're left wing, the whole situation, and we don't give a balanced view. So I thought I'd read this. This came in about 2 weeks ago, and I've been looking for the opportunity to read it out, if you like, because with Viewpoints, as I always say on TRE, we're a broad church. So I thought I'd go with this one. This comes from this is a letter that we got in. I will keep it anonymous, I think, just because. And they said, the Talk Radio Europe, particularly to the programme Europe Today, and I shall pass the entirety of this letter on to Stephen, don't worry about that, apparently encourages violence, supports criminality, broadcasts inaccurate fake comments, and disparages, sneers and mocks conservative people and organisations in general. What is presented is only the tip of the iceberg. After the Talk Radio Europe, this listener thinks, is broadcasts fake, biased and hateful content, particularly when considering the absence of similar credible program broadcasting conservative values. One-sided distortion of facts with blatant misinformation and outright lies is the norm. There are two ways of spreading misinformation between the outright rise and admission of relevant facts, using both to bolster its agenda, which appears to be the destruction of the Western Judeo-Christian civilization, which has given so much to the world. Excuse me. We broadcast propaganda, i.e. communication that is primarily used to influence or persuade an audience to further an agenda, which may not be objective and may be secret, selectively presenting facts to encourage a particular synthesis or perception, or using loaded language to produce an emotional rather than a rational response to the information that is being presented. We're looking at this, so... We lies, discreet, deceit, misrepresentation, disparaging comments about President Trump. These types of programs define Talk Radio Europe and its apparent agenda. This could possibly be endured if there was an equivalent credible conservative program broadcast in prime time to counter its propaganda. TRE, however, broadcasts no such problems. Program. The majority of listener responses indicate they are victims and therefore supportive of the propaganda broadcast by TRE. That's you, by the way. This indicates widespread indoctrination. TRE has recently added a disclaimer to Europe Today broadcast. That's been going for years, but anyway. This disclaimer lacks validity or credibility in the absence of a similar credible conservative program to balance this blatant propaganda. Lacking such a program indicates that we tacitly approve of these propaganda broadcasts. Over the years, prior to this recent disclaimer, TRE has shown approved and supported the contents of this program. TRE, a number of years ago, broadcast a conservative program called You Think We Think, or some such name. I remember that one. There have only a few broadcasts of this program because it was cancelled. It wasn't cancelled, but anyway. Was this because of a violent backlash? Because from the brainwashed listeners? There's never any equivalent ongoing relentless ranting and railing against incompetent Biden and Harris and their administration. No hatred expressed, criticising, disparaging, or insulting or lying about the Biden-Harris administration with their apparent criminality and ongoing destruction of the economy, destabilizing the world with wars, racism, CRT program, open borders, and the resulting human suffering, drug running, entering into criminal lies, sexual mutilation of pre and teenage children. Why is there no ongoing ranting and railing against these? Spoiler alert, because there probably isn't. Anyway, inflation. Here's the sent me the price of oil chart. Notes how Trump got the price down to $20 a barrel. As soon as Biden became president in 2020, on the first day he undid what Trump had done, he closed down the U.S. oil industry and the Keystone pipeline. This caused the price to begin rocketing. Biden and Harris are the sole cause of the runaway inflation being experienced around the world with resulting suffering. A particular target is President Trump, his administration, and supporters. The bias and hatred has been apparent for many years and contributed to the assassination attempt on President Trump. The bias was the subject of a previous input to TRE, which they put in an appendix, and which no reply has been received. This bias broadcasting continues to be the present, with ongoing hatred and bile being directed at President Trump. This has contributed to two assassination attempts on his life. I mean, I'd like to think I've got some influence, but please. There is hardly a broadcast aired without unjustified direct or by innuendo, sneering, usually with disparaging remarks and name-pulling. Probably 80% of the population around the world hates President Trump. These people know nothing about Trump other than what they have been fed by these dishonest and in principle broadcast and print media. Thus, the flames of hate are stoked, leading to the violence, which has resulted in two assassination attempts on Donald Trump. That proves this is Stephen apparently admitted to himself in a broadcast that it could have been responsible. Lies and disparaging remarks were broadcast about President Trump. As the U.S. elections come closer, the negative, disparaging comments are becoming more and more frequent and pernicious. This is extended to conservatives in general. It would be revealing to scan Trump programs broadcast over the past 3 years for the word Trump and see how often it comes up and listen to the associated context and content. Programs such as this seem to grasp is the fact that President Trump is not a politician. He comes from the rough and tumble business world of New York. We criticize his way of speaking, his turn of phrase, not understanding that he's not a silver-tongued politician. They, the presenters, are unable to grasp that it's not the way of speaking that matters, but what he achieves that matters. These are logical ongoing attacks on Trump are impossible to understand when considering his record when president. A booming economy, peace around the world, with no involvement in foreign wars other than to destroy to destroy ISIS. It is impossible to comprehend this hatred directed at Trump, considering his amazing achievements during his term in office, which are unprecedented, all achieved while being hounded 24 hours a day. Russian hoax, two fake impeachments, criminal charges, and any other scurrilous charges and allegations the desperate Democrats can conjure up. In spite of all this, he succeeded in turning the U.S. economy around to prosperity in record time, creating 7 million new jobs, bringing peace around the world, particularly in Russia, Ukraine. I don't know what you're on, man, but anyway. Korea and the Middle East and China. Yeah, that's going well. Brokering the amazing Abraham Accord and destroying ISIS. These illogical attacks on Trump are impossible to understand when considering his stated second-term policies include negotiate and bring an end to Biden-created wars, bring stability around the world, rebuild the economy, reduce inflation, blah, 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 blah. Right. To summarize, progress on TRE, despite disclaimers, since there's no equivalent broadcast, conservative program broadcast at prime time, we broadcast as TRE hate in misinformation, lies, and ongoing propaganda to support its radical far left agenda. Yes, okay. It's either ignorance of the facts or slyly and deliberately broadcast its propaganda to support its far left agenda. Either case, it's sufficient reason for the first to be taken off air, no matter how popular it may or may not be, or what the possible backlash from the brainwashed listeners may be. Alternatively, the author suggests that we, in prime time, we have a credible conservative program, again, notwithstanding the fact that there may be backlash from brainwashed listeners. The person who wrote this seems to be saying that, basically you're all brainwashed. In consideration of the above, and they then sent in an appendix that runs to 7-8 pages, double-sided, excuse me. The policy TRE should regard fair, balanced, and responsible reporting and comments would be appreciated. This listener goes on about broadcasting an equivalent credible conservative program in prime time, and it's to the lines we go. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. I've got a minute left of this one, though. In fact, I'm not going to go to that one. I'll have to call off back later because we're coming out to the end of the first half of Let's Talk. In the second half, I'll be throwing the phone lines open to that any of the particular notes from above, your thoughts on that. We might even touch on Tommy Robinson or anything that's coming up ahead of the US elections. But next we're going to go to the national and then the international news. This coming in, regarding Trump, is not the opposite a Nazi, a communist? That's from Paddy in New York. Yeah, you could say that. The Madison Square Garden, here we go. Well, actually, what I'll do is I'll come back to those after the national and international news at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that and some of the replies. But first we go to the national and then the international news here on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
And welcome back to the second half of Viewpoint. This is somewhat strange. Hi, Pi, Paul and Linda. Very fond of me and my programme. It wasn't that interview, I repeat yesterday, I know you're loyal listeners. Unfortunately, I've had a bit of a situation today with my guests who weren't able to come in because of various issues. So I'm having to, do a little bit of last minute rigging on this one. So if you want to get your point across, thank you for the points in, Paul and Linda. over there in 7 minutes. Glad you're listening, excuse me. I will, as I said before, trying to keep this show running as it was. But as I said before, I could do some input from yourselves on today's viewpoint with you for the next 53 minutes or so. Meanwhile, some more things coming in. Brainwashed of Ben O'Madden here. I'm confused. If Trump is so great, surely a modicum of hate on a regional radio station can't be a problem. There's always GB News for the guy who isn't enjoying the TRE offerings. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, the Madison Square Garden rally. This is from Paul. Morning to you, sir. The Tony Hinchcliffe Club. This is the warm-up on the show. The Tony Hinchcliffe joke about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage backfired with the MSG crowd and Florida Republicans. I suspect some undecided voters. Later that night, Trump campaign senior advisor Danielle Alvarez wanted to put some distance between them. This joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign, except, of course, they knew and approved the joke. It was loaded into the teleprompter. A couple of Hinchcliffe jokes were removed, including the one with the line is Camilla Hunt is a... rhymes with the name of the former chancellor. Meanwhile, to the lines we go. Thanks very much for calling in. Looking forward to your input, he said. And I go, boom, bash, boom. Morning, call to your life on Thierry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, Charles. It's just trying to keep your program going.
Oh, that's very, very kind of you, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Following on from my comment about the winter fuel payment,
yeah.
I was thinking about the £10 Christmas bonus that all pensioners get tax-free in UK, taxable in Spain, of course. And that was actually introduced in 1972, I see. But at that time, it was the equivalent of 1.5 weeks pension, the £10.
Right.
The pension was only £6 something. Now, if we were still getting the equivalent these days, we'd be getting £330 Christmas bonus.
Right.
It just shows how we all get, like, tricked and fooled and misled, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it hasn't taken into account the rate of inflation or, of course, the costs of living, etc.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody got it, rather like the wind fuel payment. Everybody got it, even people who were like rich and whatever.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I say it's interesting to see. It's not worth anything now, other than the fact I put it on my tax return and pay 29% tax on it.
Yeah, you couldn't even get a pint in some of the more salubrious bars in London. But thanks for your call in there,
and
thanks for trying, and thank you for your valiant efforts so far as well. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Good to have you with us. 95278. This is a rain-stopped play viewpoint. Meanwhile, looking at the other things, this one in. That's that person. I take that insane rant that you read out as a compliment. Was it written in green ink? I'm not sure about that. Another one comes in. Thank you, Giles. That's 10 minutes of my life I'll never get back. We've got another 50. We've got another 50 to get through. I wouldn't worry about that. Meanwhile, others, £10 bonus. Don't spend it all at once. I think in Spain you get an extra month as a bonus. Those are some of the comments coming in. If you want to get involved with the show...
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Be good to hear from you on anything you've got particularly coming through on the wires. Good to hear from you because, as I said before, it's a bit of a different viewpoint today. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Following me, of course, will be Stephen Ritson with Europe Today. And following him will be Selena McKenzie with the lifestyle show. Hannah Murray brings us TRE in the afternoon before Harold Breton is back with us with Spain today. That's all coming up on TRE Talk Radio Europe. Your voice in Spain. Just looking at some of the headlines. Our health secretary's admitted there'll be patients on trolleys in hospital corridors this winter, even with tomorrow's multi-billion-pound promise of funding for the NHS. We've been hearing details of what Chancellor is expected to confirm in the budget, although the Tories are criticising an earlier move to scrap winter fuel payments for millions of pensioners. To the lines we go. Thanks for the calls in so far. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Teresa.
Oh, good morning, Teresa.
As a recently qualified pensioner, I can confirm that you do get double Spanish pension at Christmas, and you also get double in the summer to pay for your summer holidays too. But England pays every 4 weeks.
Right.
So you actually get more than 12 months. I think it works out you get an extra one payment maybe, because it's every 4 weeks rather than on the same day every month like it is here.
Okay. I mean, John just said, you know, that it's now worth, what is it, 376, I think he said, the pounds. I mean, do you think...
Well, I haven't actually even had one yet, because this will be my first Christmas, I think, as an English pensioner. So right. I don't know if I qualify or not. He seems to think you do. But yep. I don't think I've had a Christmas payment yet.
Your first Christmas as an English pensioner, that sounds like, you know, as opposed to a Spanish pension, I suppose it's a little bit different.
Well, put it this, well, no, Spanish was even later.
Right.
Spanish was 4 months later than England, which was 6 years later than I was promised, but we won't go into that again.
Okay.
And but last year I started getting my pension from October from England, but I think it was too late for them to be able to give me a Christmas payment. Because I didn't get one, so I'm assuming that maybe I get one this year. Can't wait.
Right, okay.
I can buy myself a couple of café con leches, can't I? Except I only drink it black.
Well, exactly. That is the only way to drink it, as we know. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for your call in
there. That's my contribution to your programme today.
All contributions
are... Valiant effort.
All contributions are gladly received, Teresa, and thanks very much. And stay dry
it's
and warm.
It's the kind of radio equivalent of rain stop play, really, isn't
it?
Well,
it is indeed, but there you go.
Yeah.
All right, then. Thanks very much for the call in, as always, Stacey.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Now, let's look at this one, shall we? Because I know that we've had some calls about this before. Far-right activist Tommy Robinson has been jailed after he repeated false allegations about a Syrian refugee schoolboy. The 41-year-old, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, admitted breaching an injunction made after he successfully sued for libel. He was successfully sued for libel in 2021. The claims were repeated in a film he published on social media. That sentence came down the other day. This came in from Sharon Davis, who is, of course, you may know for MBE. Silver medalist in swimming. She says the following morning, all this was on her socials, I voted different ways during my life. I have not voted reform, and I'm absolutely no Tommy Robinson fan. My point is only one of free speech, which is under attack everywhere, and we look everywhere we look right now. People have lost faith in independent, and she put that in closed brackets, or quotation marks, excuse me, mainstream media. All who seem to have their own agenda. Free speech, debate, agreeing to disagree without violence is what keeps democracy safe. And democracy is the best of the worst solutions out there. Democracy is the best of the worst solutions out there. It stops censorship and holds tyrannical governments to task. Excuse me. People have become intimidated to speak unless it's in a virtual signalling way. Look around the world to see how that happens. Look where free speech is banned. Whichever way your politics leans, it is important we still have the right to peaceful, and peaceful is imperative, demonstration where the law of the land applies to everyone equally. This is not happening presently in the UK. Law doesn't work if it's not applied that way. We cannot have institutions frightened to imply the law. Look at the child grooming cases in Rotherham to see that. Vulnerable girls were abandoned for years because of fear institutions being called names. The law must apply to facts, not feelings, actions, not thoughts. People start to feel betrayed and society fractures if feelings are a huge stick to beat others with. Because how do we measure feelings fairly or equally when some feel offended so much more than others? Whatever we are doing right now is not working. It is not bringing society together. More of the same will only make it worse. We're being pushed further to the polar extremes. In reality, it is doing the opposite of what most of us want and will lead to a very dark place. I am British, and I'm proud to say so. I don't see colour defining my Britishness. I have a wonderful blended family who I adore. Having travelled the world and seen a lot of it, it is not greener on the other side of the wall. It's just another field with much of the same problems, many much worse. We are looking at other places through the spectrum of a touched-up Instagram picture, social media beer goggles, which in my humble opinion brings a host of issues society wasn't ready for, especially the young, and is making us ill-informed, and in some cases actually ill. Reinforcing narrow views rather than cultivating critical thinking. Sunlight really is the best disinfectant. Free speech has to be protected, and I will continue to speak up for it. Cancel culture is a plague, being weaponized by those who can't stand up to scrutiny. Apologies for being so long, and thanks to those that made it to the end. Have a good one. To the lines we go. 952-78-4000. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. What's
up? Morning, Alf.
Well, hang on a minute. Grandchildren just arrived.
Oh, have they? Okay, super.
So.
Yeah.
John, he was talking about his stuff earlier, and it was... I agree with John. It's called bureaucracy gone mad. Whenever you get a form from Inland Revenue, it's 20 pages long, 600 questions. You know, half the time you don't know the answers. I've just had to fill in a form, which I thought was going to be quite simple. You know, my mother has just passed. Give the authority a piece of paper with a death certificate. Oh, no, I had to fill a two-page form in with questions. And it's like, oh, blimey. So I agree with John. It's all these forms, all bureaucracy gone mad, and all everything that they get involved with. Just right, and Spain is even worse. You know, you go down to your local town or fill in six forms just to get an appointment. On the winter fuel stuff that John was talking about as well, it always sounds easy. Why didn't they just do this? Why didn't they just do that? The complication with the winter fuel allowance was that Labour were not in trouble, but Labour had a major problem, and it's similar to the £10 Christmas allowance. It's they had to do something in order to assist pensioners, but they did it in such a way that they've now got to go through a whole machination of changing the law and stuff like that. And to do that in the UK is like at least 6 months of parliamentary time. If you take 6 months of parliamentary time out of the system, it means you haven't got 6 months of parliamentary time to deal with the NHS, to deal with education, to deal with... Because it just takes a lot of parliamentary time. So sometimes these things, you just have to bite on it. So what they've done now, effectively, is, right, if we take it away from everybody, I think they will look at a way that they will find those people who are... Yeah, first of all, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of pensioners who didn't fill in the form for pension benefit who would get the allowance anyway. And it is about... And partly the problem, and the same with John was talking about his mum, you know, there used to be a system back in the 60s where social services, they weren't called social services then, but the town hall provided help and assistance, and they used to go and knock at the old folks' doors, and they used to fill the forms out for the old folks, you know, to the extent, and I'm going back to a time when even some of the old folk couldn't sign their own name, and it really was X in the box. And they still manage to get through processes like that, but because people's expectations, because we've become more affluent, the expectations rise, oh, we've got to do this, that and the other. I mean, personally, I'd do away with the £10 Christmas bonus, and the woman who rang in, who said she wasn't sure, you only get the first payment if you've been a pensioner for 12 months. That's why you didn't get it last year. It's not because it's too late in the system, and the payment is made in December, because it is literally, it was about giving people some money for a decent Christmas meal. And that was about poor people. And we're talking about days when people really did have nothing whatsoever. And as for Sharon was the name of the swimmer who's going, you know, peaceful opposition.
Yeah.
Has anybody not seen this video of the dopey ex-Labour MP who presumes that he can take the law into his own hands? As an MP, he ought to know better anyway. Somebody gives him a mouthful of abuse and threatens him verbally. I didn't see any fists being raised. He might have pointed a finger. But effectively, he says, oh, I felt threatened by him. So he punches his lights out. And not just punches his lights out, it was just obscene. And yeah, the guy, it's a shame we can't throw him out of Parliament, because that's what I would do, throw him out of Parliament.
Yeah.
Was that, and why is my bloody phone ringing?
That's the bat phone going off. That'll be.
My phone never rings.
Exactly.
Name the wife because she's here.
Right, fair enough.
Shame. Right.
All right, well, thanks for that. Thanks. Oh, and there's something else going off in the background as well, Alf.
No. It's called half term, Giles.
Right, okay. But
the last thing is because, just to add a bit of light, you were saying to other people.
Sorry, it's the background noises, Alf, that are getting.
I know, that's the phone again.
Yeah.
I've turned it off.
Right.
I
Your pager will go off in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the wife stood next to me, so she'll probably ask me about what I want to see. The last thing is, just to add a little bit of political balance to the show.
Yeah.
Because everybody comes in and all go,
just so you know, Alf, I got a WhatsApp in the other week saying that this, you know, I should be ashamed to be doing this show because I was spouting left-wing propaganda and I shouldn't call myself a journalist. You know.
You call yourself a conservative.
We're a small C.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You're a conservatory.
With a small C.
People grow plants in it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and after I got off...
Are you a plant?
I used to be a plant. That's a different story,
And to be honest, I've been around the political scene so long now that whatever people say, you know what my theory is. My theory always is the same. Whatever you call yourself, somebody else will call you different because everybody sees the... And there is not an opposite. So the opposite to Trump isn't communism. The opposite to communism isn't fascism.
Right.
It's a circle. Politics is a circle.
Yeah,
and the closer you get to this circle, the closer you get to the opposition.
Yeah.
So there is no real opposition. It's just people with different opinions, different political
ideas. This is why, Alf, this is a thing, okay? And I'm just throwing things around, climbing up in the air. But people are going, oh, well, you know, Trump's last week, and he's got his rally, and he's hugging Muslim leaders and the whole thing like that. Proves he's not a racist, a fascist, or whatever. But then again, if you know your history, you go back and you see these rallies in the 60s with Nation of Islam sitting next to sort of the American fascist movements, because again, they've got the same sort of agenda as it comes to for example, for Israel, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah. Plus the fact, and I'm not sure people really do understand, politics transcends almost everything. If you want a vote because you want power, you will do almost anything. Listen, you know, me and Andreas agree on the fact that what Pedro Sanchez did in order to stay in power and doing a deal with the breakaway mob in Catalan was just wrong.
Right.
But it's politics, and people do the strangest things to stay in politics, and they will always do the strangest things to stay, not in politics, to stay in power.
Yeah.
As you know, that's always the theme. If you ain't in power, you don't get to make the decisions, the power decisions that change things. And I know people say, oh, Alf Brewer, is that communist, or is that whatever they call me? And I go, when I joined the Labour Party, I joined as a trade unionist. After I got involved with the Labour Party and I became politically aware of what was going on, I was anti-communist. So I've never been in favour. And I fought militant in my union. I fought militant to beat them. And I did beat them. And we did win. And we got back to some, what we call, in our terms, some central way.
Right.
But it's the central way of the left. It's not the central way of everybody in the country. And so Tories will call me a left-wing. Of course I'm left-wing, but I'm not a raving lunatic, you know, off the planet left-winger. I think I'm a fairly level-headed, sane person who wants to... And it's called aspirationalists. And whether you're a Tory or a Liberal or any political party, even you know, the nutcases who follow the new party that I don't like mentioning, there's always a level of, oh, actually, you know, he might be right-wing, but he ain't a bad bloke. He's a left-winger, and I often was called, oh, he's that left-winger, but he's okay, really. And it's about having a level of understanding.
Got some more calls coming in.
Yes,
so thank you very much for that one, Alf, and good to
hear the programme going.
Enjoy, thank you indeed. Enjoy the half term. Morning, Corley, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Sharon.
Good morning,
hi,
Sharon.
I do tend to agree with Alf, and I find Alf a very moderate socialist, shall I say. Regarding Stephen Ritson, I couldn't have got through Brexit without him.
Right.
He's mostly, I think a lot of people would agree with that. He's always, nearly always factually correct. He nearly always corrects himself if he is found to be wrong. In recent times, since Trump got in the first time around, there's some very dominating, scary voices on the right who I feel they're trying to silence me. I find it very frightening. I've never felt this in my... I'm 73 years old. I haven't felt this sort of thing before. That I've always felt that it would be safe for both sides to have a say.
Yeah.
But this rubbish that you can't say this and you can't say that, you can't say Christmas anymore because it might upset the Muslims. I'm sorry, it's just absolute tosh.
You just said Christmas, so therefore...
I know, I'm going to say Christmas. And have a nice Christmas, Joel. You can't say this, you can't say this. It's a total exaggeration of the truth. And I just want the students to keep going. And if anything happens through other people making up exaggerations and lies, he gives everybody every opportunity to come in and defend the other side of the... As Jonathan does, nearly every day, Jonathan's on defending his point of view, and Stephen always reads it out. And I am concerned now that Stephen's going to get the chop.
He's not going to get the chop. Fear not. And those who say that Stephen Ritson is responsible for the assassination attempts on Donald Trump need their proverbs looking at, basically, Sharon, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Somebody said that, then?
Yeah, this was in a letter that I read out a bit earlier, yeah, so saying that, you know, because people like Ritson is why the worst snipers in the world are having a shot at the President Trump, yeah?
It potentially, I think it's dangerous. I don't want to shut them up.
Yeah.
What I want them to do is think before, use their brains, put mouth brain in gear before opening mouth.
If only I learnt that a long time ago, Sharon. What could we say?
Yeah, I know. Anyway, it's a good programme, Giles.
Thank you very much,
indeed. Appreciate it. It's not easy for you to do. I do understand that. That's all I've got to say, really.
Thank you very much for calling, Sharon. Lovely to hear from you, and stay safe. Morning, okay. Callie, alive on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Bertha.
Good morning, Bertha. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. Very wet up here. Good Lord.
Yes.
I'm about to be washed down to the coast. You'll be delighted with the... The lake in Venezuela.
Well, you know, the thing is, I suppose that, yeah, but I don't actually live on the lake anymore. I moved away to the sunny uplands of Coen, if you know that area, but anyway. So.
Yes, I know Coen. Yeah.
What can I help you with this morning?
I just wanted to make reference to the lady pensioner that called in.
Yeah, there is. Today,
with her heating allowance. I've been a pensioner a good deal longer than she has, and when I did become a pensioner, I declared my residence in Spain.
Yeah.
And we were in the EU, and I got my winter fuel allowance. And that was very nice, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It then stopped with Brexit.
Yeah.
And I have not received a winter fuel payment since then. So I think she might be disappointed if she is registered as receiving her pension and living, declared living here in Spain.
Right, okay.
Because we do not, and perhaps other pensioners who are in the same position might call in.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I remember they, yeah, and confirm that. But I have certainly not received a winter.
The benefits of Brexit, they keep going on, huh?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I have to confess that I was a Brexiteer, but that was based on the fact we went in the 70s when I was a young woman and had been raised in a market that was very much part of our extended family, New Zealand, Australia, and yeah. so on. And we had wonderful trading agreements with those nations.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with going into the EU at that time. And I saw Britain only going backwards in terms of its own industry and production and cost of living. And I felt that that was most certainly to do with being a member of the EU. I personally, it's only a personal opinion, I personally believe that Britain is being grossly mismanaged, and it doesn't matter what flag the political government is flying.
Yeah.
They are all as incompetent as each other right across the board. And there is a terrific amount of profiteering going on and a lot of skullduggery going on underneath the surface of British politics today. And frankly, it doesn't matter what club Britain belongs to. If you've got governments that are not serving the population, you are not going to have a good outcome.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Good to have you. Stay dry. Try not to get washed down to the coast because I know it's safe on transport, but it would be a bit concerning to see you floating past the TRE studios.
You wouldn't want that, Charles, I tell you.
Bertha, as always, lovely to hear from you.
Yes, thank you.
Take care.
Nice to speak to you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks for calling in. 952-78-4000. In fact, I'll let the lovely Lucy do the voiceovers today, I think.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And Brainwashed and Bale Madler is back on. Trouble is, we all think we're sane. Yes, indeed. Oh, well, to be honest with you. Including Trump and Tommy Robinson. And thank the lovely lady, but we were talking about the Christmas bonus, okay? Meanwhile, Alf, out of the background noises for Alf, some waggers come in and said, it's the police coming to take him away. More bongs than a Boris house party. I don't know what to mean about that one. Meanwhile, the great thing. This is coming from, I'm not sure who she's coming in from. I'm just checking to see whether, who is this one? Ah, it's Felix. Morning to you, Felix. The great thing this is true that has transpired in this American election is that Democrats are exposed as the big liars and fascists, either present or becoming of our age. Of course, stupid people are not intelligent enough to see that. Thanks very much for that one in as well. More Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Stupid people are not intelligent enough to see that. Look at some of the comments that are coming in through Ocon about Tommy Robinson. Last 20 minutes, by the way, if you want to get your viewpoint across. Looking at some of the comments I've had coming in. Some interesting ones indeed. Let's have a look. This is Tommy Robinson is in prison because he broke the law repeatedly and Musk helped him. Let your racist uncle, this is somewhat different than what your racist uncle thinks, who thinks that people are trying to ban the poppy. I've just read that Tommy Robinson gifted thousands of pounds from his supporters to fund his defence and then walked into the court and pleaded guilty. I'm not laughing at that. Not even a chuckle. Look, okay, then maybe a smirk. Tommy Robinson, this is from Kia. Tommy Robinson so far raised £100,000 to cover the cost of walking to court and saying guilty. Incidentally, how much, hello there, can you get for £100,000? Tommy Robinson would like to thank all his heavily browed so-and-sos for giving so generously to his legal fees so he can prove his innocence as he starts his costly and lengthy defence by checking notes, pleading guilty. Yes, interesting one indeed. Interesting indeed there. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. This is from Stevie. Can't say I care much for Tommy Robinson, but getting 18 months while Hugh Edwards gets nothing is not a fair system. Not to mention Ricky Jones calling to cut their throats and the Manchester City airport thugs who broke a policewoman's nose. This is 100% two-tier policing. The Hugh Edwards thing, although you may disagree with that, it was, believe it or not, it's a first offence. There is the secret barrister who you should follow on the social medias said that even though it's a heinous, what he's done is heinous, in the way that the law is applied these days, the way the legal statutes are, say that if it is a first, if the sort of crimes that he was accused of and convicted of, they say that as a first offence, this should be the legal precedent. And unfortunately, in the eyes of the law, all people are equal. Therefore, that's the reason that Hugh Edwards got his sentence, whereas Robertson gets 18 months because he was as I said before, he pleaded guilty to his offences. Regarding this is from Larry. Preparing for this for what when Musk eventually claims that Tommy Robinson is a political prisoner, feel free to send. He pleaded guilty. His offence is contempt of court. That means he admits he didn't do what a court ordered him to do. He breached the court order 10 times by repeating defamatory statements. Freedom of speech is protected in UK law. It doesn't allow you to defame people or to ignore court orders, like the US First Amendment wouldn't protect you if lying under oath. He was denied a visa to visit the States when Trump was president. He was jailed in 2012 for illegally entering the US on a false passport. To the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John.
Hello, John.
Just on that point of Tommy Robinson, I've got no time for him whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just on the legal point of it,
yeah.
The fact that he went into court and pleaded guilty doesn't mean that he didn't have an enormous legal bill, because as probably most people know, or may should know, is that in order to mount a defence, or even know if you've got a defence, it can cost thousands upon thousands of pounds for lawyers who make lots of money. I can remember a case 40 years ago, where the lawyer, it was a tax fraud. The barrister wanted $5,000, and I'm saying going back 40 years.
Right.
He wanted $5,000 to say he would read the brief. He wanted $5,000 to read it.
Yeah.
And then he wanted something like that, $4,000 a day to appear in court for the first two weeks of the trial. So what I'm saying is that lawyers can charge an enormous amount of money, and it may be, I mean, $100,000 seems an awful lot.
Yeah.
But his pre-defense for the lawyer to eventually say, you've had it, mate, you might as well plead guilty.
Yeah.
Could have cost many thousands of pounds, just out of interest, okay, in passing.
Thank you. Who knows? It's a top line legal defence. Their fees can be eye wateringly strong. Yeah.
Yeah. And just on, I think it was Bertha's point or whatever. I don't know how she managed to get the heating allowance, because as I understood it, you only had the heating allowance if you were already getting it when you moved to Spain.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it, because I moved here in 1988.
and I was on invalidity benefit, if I'd been in England, I would have got the heating allowance. And I tried for a while, and they said, no, I cannot get it, because I wasn't receiving it when I first drew my, well, when I first became ill in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Just a point in passing.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Okay, Doug.
Thanks very much. 952-78-4000. As of 10 minutes ago, help fund Tommy Robinson's legal costs. I'm just looking at this. The thing says, Tommy Robinson, the British journalist and civil rights activist, can I put those in quotes, is being prosecuted for producing a documentary film about censorship against a judge's orders. Tommy is being censored for making a film about censorship, and he faces a lengthy term for doing so. Tommy raised funds for his legal defence, but his bank, Tide, has frozen his account and seized the funds and will not release them in time for the hearing, which is scheduled for the October 28th, 29th. Campaign created by Rebel News. 3,577 people gave. 980 people shared that, and 325 people prayed for him. So the goal was £125,000. They raised just over £100,000. Thanks for sending that one. Top right, help fund Tommy's legal costs. I think that's they raised. So they didn't get all the legal costs in, apparently. Anyway, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Looking at some other comments coming in on this one as well. If you want to get involved with the show, looking at what some people are saying with this one. Tommy Robinson's going to jail matters, but why? If you're a patriot who wants to see this country free, if you're a worried reform UK or Tory voter, or simply worried about expressing conservative views, 952-78-4000. Lots of memes about Tommy Robinson as a small child who's been living away, being taken away as a... they've imposed the Tommy Robinson head, of course, looking at those coming in. More of this.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And we're into the last 10 minutes of today's Viewpoint. If you want to get your viewpoint across, thoughts on anything that we have covered so far, you want to bring something up, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And looking here, morning to Mark saying, morning, bro, different show. At least Alf showed up on the phone. He's a stalwart of things here on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. This coming in as well. I'm a fiscal resident of Spain, and I received my £10 Christmas bonus, and did my wife on the 5th of December last year. As far as I know, we carry on receiving it. If I thought it would do the NHS, education, or anything else in the UK any good, then I would return it. But I still have to pay tax on it in Spain. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Your thoughts on that or anything else? Just to let you know as well, by the way, as a little bit of apropos for nothing, our colleague Kit Hogg is off today. I just want to say something quickly, because he's off on a 3,000 kilometer journey to Lviv. He is Galicine-based Kit's making a second journey, this is before last year, to war-torn Ukraine in a 4x4. That, although surplus requirements in Spain, is desperately needed by the Ukrainians. It's part of his continuing commitment to Car for Ukraine. Kit explained that Car for Ukraine is a Lviv-based voluntary organization that specializes in the conversion of donated civilian vehicles, primarily pickups and SUVs, into support units for military and medical teams on the front line. 6 weeks ago, he had a call from Car for Ukraine asking if he would consider delivering a 2004 Ford Ranger parked up and surplus to requirement in Alicante to the workshop in Lviv. The owner is British, and with both Brexit complications, yep, that's the way of putting it, and business commitments in England, she rarely visits her home on the Costa Blanca. Because the truck had been parked without use for nearly 2 years, she decided that she wanted to donate it to Ukraine. Last year, Kit delivered a Mitsubishi L200 to Lviv, so Car for Ukraine contacted him and asked him to check out the vehicle. There are defects. It would fail an ITV, but it's a low miler and basically sound. I'll be setting out today to drive it to Ukraine. That's a road trip of just over 3,000 kilometres. Kit's using the trip to highlight the appeal. If you have a vehicle, ideally a 4x4 mothballed through circumstance or lack of use or surplus to requirements, and believe in the cause of people fighting for their freedom, existential war, you can consider donating it to Car for Ukraine. If you want to get involved with it, the first step is to contact car4ukraine.com, an international volunteering initiative that brings people from different backgrounds together in the same cause. The organization sources, upgrades, and delivers pickup trucks and SUVs to the front line. The organizers will arrange its delivery from Spain to the Ukraine. So good luck to Kit on that one. I'm just saying he wrote something else. He dropped me a personal note this morning. And of course, Kit presents En Camino, and Kit really is an En Camino this morning. And we wish him all the best. And Kit said the following this morning, hi, Gilesy. He refers to me as Gilesy. Only two people in the world have referred to me as Gilesy. Oh, there's three. Suresh, good morning to you, Siv. And there's Kit, and there was a music teacher back in the day, but let's not even go there. I'm off to pick up the Apache in Alicante. I think it'll be wet, yeah, and much darker than appropriate for defective headlights. No functioning dashboard, but the owner assures me there are windscreen wipers. Should be in Lviv for the weekend. Thanks a bunch. I'm dreaming of a springtime convoy of push cans, Range Rovers and Raptors on the more mellow route through Slovenia in Hungary. Viva Spain to Ukraine. So that's from Kit Hogg. He's off today. Wishing him all the best on his trip. If you said before, if you want to get involved with that one, then go to car4ukraine.com.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
There are many reasons why people won't be comfortable being as connected as they are.
The Remix, a recap of the best interviews of the week.
We don't need role models, but sometimes it's nice to see a positive reflection of some of the decisions that you've made.
During that time, I asked myself a simple question. What does it mean to be a man? Because I'd done everything I thought a man was supposed to do to be happy, and I was absolutely miserable.
Tune in Saturdays and Sundays from 2 p.m.
Sometimes we have to live with the fact that we may never know the truth, and we have to be okay with that.
It's time for your medication, Mr. Brown.
This, in case you hadn't guessed already, is Giles Brown. Every Friday on It's GB, Not GQ, we take a walk through some of the wildest stories from the world of music, sport, cinema, and whatever else I decide to throw into the mix.
You are the living personification of life in the fast lane.
That's me, Giles Brown, the man who put the fried into Friday. Every Friday from 4 o'clock with It's GB, Not GQ. Bumper!
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
understand those. And just to let you know as well, Steve Coogan says, what's happening in the US elections is beyond satire, I think. It would be funny if it wasn't true. But the dehumanization of people by Donald Trump, his rhetoric, what's worrying there is people find that acceptable. That kindness, generosity of spirit seems to have gone out of the window. 952-78-4000. Those are some of the thoughts coming in. Of course, we're looking to see how that one will plan out. Just bits and pieces coming in at the moment. Timothy says one of the few things that Trump and Vance are clearly campaigning on is lawlessness, breaking the rule of law and ignoring the Constitution. Beyond the fundamental issue of the rule of law, Trump and Vance's announced plan spells economic disaster for the United States. This is saying for everyone panicking right now, several points. The American result is all about turnout. There are very few undecided voters. The election will be won or lost by the ground game. We haven't seen this ground game since 2008 to 2012. The Harris campaign is door knocking, phone banking, texting, postcarding, with the added twist of digital. Coordinated campaigns in the battlegrounds are unprecedented, which gives a major boost to down-ballot candidates. Democrats aren't fighting resources, they're maxing them, and the Trump ground game is non-existent. The RNC has not invested in anything and instead has outsourced this part with no idea what's going on. And the GOP has invested heavily in trying to turn their voters into early voting, so we should be seeing a much closer gap on EV numbers, electronic voting. It's not there. The Democrats have the joy. That's translated not only with money, but a record number of volunteer hours. I was told by a campaign that the £5 donation or an hour of volunteer, $5 donation or an hour of volunteer work meant more than the max donation. Why? Because it meant the person was invested, and if you were invested, you will vote. So those are some of that's coming in. Steve says, a US presidential election campaign is like a Russian doll. It never seems to end. Well, with the campaign nearly over, by this time next week, it'll be interesting to see what the results are coming in like. I'll be back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Thanks for staying with me on this rather unusual viewpoint. I'm back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson's up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right now.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.